I remember back in March, I was hoping that public masses would be able to resume for the celebration of Easter. And I was looking forward to that, but it didn't happen that way. And every Sunday since then, I was waiting and waiting for when they would allow public masses to resume. But we finally reached that day. And certainly for the last day in the Easter season, it's great to be able to celebrate Mass with people in the pews again. I know this has been a difficult time for many people. You know, there's many people who have been worried about family members getting sick. We've had a couple parishioners who have lost loved ones, and a lot of funerals have been closed, even to family members. And a lot of people have lost jobs. Our unemployment rate's about 30% in Logan County. A lot of businesses have been closed, schools and graduations canceled. I think for a lot of people, just isolation has been a trial. You know, not being able to see our family members, you know, we didn't have big family gatherings for Easter or other holidays. I think especially for people in nursing homes, not being able to have visitors has been a trial for them. And then to face all these trials without being able to go to Mass, I think made it even worse. Because usually, you know, we come before the Lord and we present our troubles before Him, and, you know, we turn to the Lord for strength in the midst of trials. And you know, to not be able to go to Mass has perhaps been the biggest trial for the faithful during this time. For me, this shutdown went against every instinct I have as a priest. You know, as a priest, you want to be with your people in a time of need. And it doesn't matter if there's a sickness going around or no sickness. It doesn't matter if it's dangerous or not. A shepherd is supposed to be with his people. And so I know for me, that was perhaps the biggest part of this trial, is wanting to be with my people, yet at the same time, you know, we couldn't have the public celebration of Mass. But through this entire time, we were not abandoned. You know, God is not confined by a stay-at-home order, and no flu is going to stop the grace of God from achieving His purposes. And I think as we celebrate today the Feast of Pentecost, in a particular way, it highlights the power of God. Because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended in power, in tongues of fire, upon the apostles and upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that was not just a one-time event, but the Holy Spirit, through every generation, right to our present day, has continued to fill the church with life, continually renewing her and purifying her and keeping the church ever vibrant and ever young. You know, how important is today's feast day of Pentecost? Well, Jesus says in the gospel, this is in John 16, He was telling His apostles, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you." And so He's looking ahead to His ascension. When He would leave the world in His bodily form, He would ascend body and soul into the glory of heaven. And He's still with us in the Eucharist, but not in the same way He was with 2,000 years ago when He walked the earth. But our Lord said, "It is more important that I go," so that He could send the Holy Spirit upon us. That's how important it is to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus ascended into heaven so that He could send the Holy Spirit upon us. I think a lot of Catholics do not have a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something mysterious to them, and they're not quite sure what to make of the Holy Spirit. And I think that flows over into a lack of understanding or a confusion around the sacrament of confirmation as well. Because confirmation is the full outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you ask a lot of Catholics, you know, what is confirmation? They'll say, oh, it's when an individual makes a choice for themselves to be Catholic. You know, like your parents chose to have you baptized, and then when you get old enough, then you choose if you want to be Catholic or not. That's not what the sacrament of confirmation is. The sacrament of confirmation is the full outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Scripture uses water as an image of the Holy Spirit in many cases. There's a few different images, you know, fire, the dove, water. But if we look at that image of water, without water, our bodies would wither and die. You know, every aspect of our body in some way, shape, or form requires water to function properly. Our body needs water to function and to flourish. And so too with our soul. The Holy Spirit is like water to our soul. We need the grace of the Holy Spirit in order for our souls and any virtue within our soul to flourish. Without the Holy Spirit, it's not possible for us to attain any goodness or for any virtues to flourish. Every good thing that flourishes within our soul requires the power of the Holy Spirit. The virtue of faith itself, to have faith in Jesus Christ and in his Catholic Church as an institution founded by God, requires the grace of the Holy Spirit. Fidelity to Jesus Christ in the midst of a secular culture, a culture that wants to downplay the importance of religion, or a culture that wants to vilify religion in every way that it can, and to try and show religion as something evil or something subversive to the common good. It requires the grace of the Holy Spirit to remain faithful to the church. For parents, you know, to grow in the virtues of patience and gentleness when dealing with their children, or to infuse prayer into the life of the family, it requires the grace of the Holy Spirit. For those who are suffering, whether it's from an illness or financial uncertainty, it requires the grace of the Holy Spirit. You know, so all of these virtues require the Holy Spirit in order to flourish within us. Ultimately, there is no challenge that this world can throw at us that we cannot overcome and use to grow in virtue if we're open and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. No matter what situation we're in or what challenge we face, we can always grow in virtue if we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If we look at the stay-at-home order, you know, many Catholics were certainly separated from the sacraments, but there have been great saints who have been imprisoned and not able to receive the sacraments, sometimes for long periods of time. But through the grace of the Holy Spirit, they're purified and they're able to grow in holiness. You know, there have been many Christians who have been persecuted for their faith or slandered or rejected by their families for remaining faithful to the church. And yet those can be opportunities for them to grow in acceptance of the will of God and their desire for his affirmation above all things. You know, in any situation that we're in, if we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in holiness. The Pentecost sequence, which we sung right before the Alleluia this morning, it's sung only on Sundays of Pentecost. There's an interesting line. It calls the Holy Spirit the soul's most welcome guest. And I think that's an interesting title to reflect upon. If there's anyone that we should want to welcome into our lives and into our souls, it's the Holy Spirit. Because all goodness, every good thing that could possibly happen within our souls requires the grace of the Holy Spirit to be flowing within us. And so every aspect of our spiritual and our moral lives requires the Holy Spirit. We cannot have a rich life of prayer without the Holy Spirit. We can't overcome sin. We can't have supernatural hope in the glory of heaven without the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is strength from on high. And it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ himself ascended into the glory of heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit down upon us with power. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray for a renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit, our soul's most welcome guest. And I encourage each one of us to open up our souls and to invite the Holy Spirit to fill our souls as our soul's most welcome guest. Allow the Holy Spirit to infuse our life of prayer and our devotion as we enter into this Mass. And for every virtue that we're striving to build, for every trial that we face, for every sin that we're trying to overcome, I encourage each one of us to invite the Holy Spirit to fill us with his power. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit will come down in power upon each one of us today, right here as we celebrate this Mass. We pray that the Holy Spirit will enliven our entire parish and enliven the Catholic Church throughout the world. And especially as we open up after this lockdown order, we pray that Christians everywhere might return to Mass with a renewed courage, with a renewed zeal, and with a renewed trust in the power of God. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but he is powerful in the hearts of those who welcome him through faith. And so in faith, we call upon the Holy Spirit today, and we invite him as our soul's most welcome guest.